switch from basketball to football.
One heated rivalry. It's intense. It's no holds barred. It's game time.
Hey, let's go!
On Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Scott and Mike and their versatility bring new light to many topics in and out of the world of fantasy sports. Guests can reach the show by calling 347-324-5404. Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide. Let's hope they're still friends afterwards. Here they are, Scott and Mike.
Oh boy, Mikey, it is week 7 in the National Football League. I hope you still have a chance at the playoffs, my man. Welcome to Red vs. Blue Friday Night Football, wherever you may be. Thanks for making us part of your night. I'm Scott Atkins, team legacy in the world of high-stakes fantasy football, and as always, joined by the Big Blue co-host from Brandenburg, Kentucky. Surely to God, you're not watching Big Blue Madness or whatever the hell they call that.
Yes, sir, Scott. The Big Blue Madness going on. Basketball's amping up, but we got a lot of things to take care of in Week 7, don't we, bub?
347-324-5404 is the number. We're actually going to open up the phone lines tonight and take calls. We haven't done that in a long time. The fantasy executive, Corey Parsons, is going to join us later to take some Who Do I Start, and he has some strong opinions whether to buy or sell on DeMarco Murray. A lot of people think that, man, he's got all the carries he's had, all the success he's had. Maybe it's time to sell high on DeMarco Murray. So we'll get the exec's take on that. And, of course, the Percy Harvin trade that went down today for a mid-round pick to the Jets. I mean, I don't even know if that's a story. He goes from useless to more useless, if that's even possible. Mike, what do you think about that trade? I've heard it was related to anger management issues.
Yeah. You know, I don't know what to think about it. You know, it just kind of boggles the mind, so to speak. Anger management, whatever. But, you know, if both teams are, you know, if they like the situation that they're in with the trade, then so be it.
This is the Red vs. Blue Show, sponsored by ScoutMedia.com. Scout.com is now the owners, operators of FFToolbox.com and Scout Fantasy. Promotional code going on for the rest of this week if you want to see what Scout is all about and the membership benefits of Scout. Go to scoutfantasy.com, sign up for the one-month option as a Red versus Blue listener. Use the code REDBLUE3. You'll get 3 months for the price of one. REDBLUE3 will get you 3 months for the price of one. And look, and that will actually take care of you for the rest of the fantasy season. So you'll get to hear from all of our experts, Jim Day, Corey Parson, Pilar Lastra, the FF girl, Liz Loza. We've got Dr. Roto. The cast keeps getting bigger and bigger every single week. And don't forget, if you play daily, one of the best players in the world, Tommy G, provides daily fantasy advice for you to cash and stay cashing, as he likes to say, at DraftKings and FanDuel. He's probably the best player in the world for baseball, for daily baseball, and one of the best for football. So really great to have him on the team and all of the stars at FF Toolbox and FFWC. I call them stars because I love reading their content. I love hearing their opinions. They pour their hearts and souls into this stuff every single week. Larry Gold, Rusty Rees, all the cast, Rob Warner, just the list is pretty large, man, for FF Toolbox to have an opportunity to add such good talent now at Scout Fantasy. It's just the team's getting bigger and better every week.
Yeah, absolutely, Scott. And, you know, what's so much fun about those daily contests is, you know, you have a chance every week. Every week you have a chance, and it makes it more fun. It makes it more fun. I mean, you might be you know, you might be 1-5 coming into this week in your local league or whatever. Well, so what? Big deal. It's a new week.
You know, the Millionaire Maker is that contest over at DraftKings, and they've went ahead and extended it, right? It was the first. It was supposed to be like a four times a year kind of thing. And they went ahead, and since they sold out in week five, they extended it to week six. I'm sorry, week four, week five, week six, and now again in week seven. But they're only sitting at like 32,000 entries, so the overlay on that contest, they need 92 to sell out. So yeah, they could get 60,000. I think they ended up with 85 last week. So it wouldn't surprise me if they did a slight dip this week and finish somewhere around 80,000. That would not surprise me at all, because it's just kind of hard to keep it going, you know. It is really hard to keep it going with that many entries. And plus, it's a very top-heavy contest. I mean, look, I love the chance and the quote-unquote dream of hitting it big with the million-dollar top prize. You got to have an absolute record week, a week for the ages, and a ton of luck. You got to just throw some bullets, take some shots, put in a Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson team, put in a Teddy Bridgewater, Jarius Wright team or something. You know, just really throw some darts.
Yeah.
Just throw some darts, because there is no right or wrong strategy, I don't think, at this point in that big Millionaire Maker. If you want to cash, you know, you got to take some shots and have some luck on your side. I mean, look, Jonathan Stewart has practiced all week. He's going to be starting, and he's like, what, 3,700? You can get a starting running back for Jonathan Stewart, and most people would say, forget him, he's trash. But at that price, for dirt cheap like that, I mean, if he gets you a touchdown and a couple of catches, well worth the admission.
Absolutely, and you know, as silly as it may sound, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you know, throw a flyer at a defense that's going to get you 20-25 points. I mean, you know, it's goofy stuff like that that it'll give you a chance at $1 million. So why not take the chance and just roll with it?
Shout out to everybody at the crew. Some of the best minds in the world of high stakes fantasy football are in this chat room tonight. BSOL, Fantasy Taz, Kicking Bass, Henry Muto, one of the big winners of six-figure payday in the past. So welcome to Red vs. Blue, and good to see you guys, as always, in the chat. And look, let's get right into the matchups. We're not really here to cover the news. If you are having issues in the chat, somebody suggested hitting refresh. Maybe that'll clear up your audio issues. I hope we're not having – I hear you loud and clear, Mike. You hear me?
Yeah, perfectly.
Okay. Well, we're not going to talk about Big Blue Madness tonight. No 40-0 claims. You know, I am a little surprised.
How about baseball? Baseball? You want to talk Royals, Giants real quick?
Sorry about your Cardinals, man. Oh, those aren't your Cardinals. You're a Reds fan. No,
hell no, they're not my Cardinals. They're Joe Dix.
No, you're not. You're a Reds fan. No, but I'm surprised that, you know, I thought there was a lot of controversy about Big Blue Madness, you know, actually being on television, and it's on ESPN3, I believe, and ESPNU, but I'm surprised you guys even have ESPN down there in Brandenburg, dude. I mean,
we did some lines. You know, we made it work. A bunch of us country boys, we made it work, and you know, we
took hangers,
the
fire them up.
Yeah, we did that, and Campbell's, you know, soup cans, and we took our horses, and we got all the lines set up, so it's sounding good, looking good, too. Looking like number one in the nation, actually.
Oh, God, here we go. Look, we're not going to talk Kentucky basketball. We are going to talk high-stakes fantasy football. If you have not played in the games at the FFWC and the Fantasy Football World Championships, just listen in. Sit back and enjoy the show. We do use blind bidding. We just had our waivers run a few minutes ago, so I'm sure that there will be some Jermaine Kearse owners newly appointed tonight, right? Kearse would be the hot pickup, I think, because of the news. Maybe even a Paul Richardson. Take a flyer on a Paul Richardson, the rookie for Seattle. We have Wednesday night waivers and Friday night waivers in the FFWC, as you do in the FFPC and the NFFC. In the RT Sports Championship, all of them, we do the Wednesday and Friday night waivers. And that gives you two chances to add talent to your team. And if I had to take a guess, Mike, I would imagine that since Baldwin is probably rostered everywhere, very likely, maybe he could have been dropped, would probably be Jermaine Pierce would be the main beneficiary of tonight's waivers. Yep, there's a $57 bid he won in one league. $66 bid for Doug Baldwin there. Oh, by the way, Jonas Gray is another name that Belichick sprung on everybody. Look, I picked him up in about a half a dozen leagues, I think, on Wednesday night just to take a flyer on him for dirt cheap while everybody else, because I knew I wasn't going to bid enough for James White. And, I'm a Marine guy anyway. I have him everywhere. And finally, he had a good game. But I saw that Jonas Gray got that work and not Ridley and James White. Now, not Ridley, I'm sorry, Brandon Bolden. And look, it might be fair to say that, look, you're not going to throw Bolden into the fire. You know, you might give him another week to kind of get him going. So I wouldn't take too much from the Jonas Gray. But that's Belichick for you, man, in a nutshell. Jonas Gray, man.
Yeah. You know what? It was funny because, I like Brandon Bolden. I want to pick him up. And then I got to thinking, I'm going, wow, man, this is New England. This is New England. Do you really want to take a chance on taking anybody from New England? Because they spread it around so freaking much. They always do. They always have. They always will. But that was what a game this week by Ridley. I mean that was awesome.
I just looking at a bid in the Dynasty Football World Championship. Somebody bid $450 on Doug Baldwin. Now, I don't really understand that. In a dynasty league, if you didn't like Doug Baldwin before, why are you going to bid $450 on him now? I mean, really? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me because dynasty is more about long-term value anyway. So I don't like that.
But it's a hot commodity that's moving to a different team. But let's face it. I mean, is Doug Baldwin increasing his value that much moving to that team? I'm not sure he is.
Yeah, no. Jermaine Kearse, again, the hot bid. I'm looking at 139 here. There's some Preston Parker bids that still didn't get picked up. Dougie B, Doug Baldwin, $75. Jermaine Kearse again, 303 on Doug Baldwin. Yep, that's the kind of night it was. There's a Theo Riddick bid. You know, nothing out. It was kind of a quiet week for waivers, right? I mean, it was kind of quiet. A lot of times I like to sit back and save my money and not really go crazy. I mean, I saw some Cecil Shorts guys got picked up this week for people that had passed on him. It was more about the Brandon Bolden, James White kind of thing. It was, which one did you want? Did you want him? Did you want to go a little bit cheaper for Trey Mason, perhaps? You know, a lot of people bet on Trey Mason. And then you also had Jarvis Landry in Miami. Which of those guys you want to talk about first, Mike? Jarvis Landry, Trey Mason? Which one of those guys?
You know what? I'd like to talk about Jarvis Landry because it seems like that Ryan Tannehill and Jarvis Landry, they're immediately making a connection, and, you know, they're trying to open up that offense a little bit, little by little. But the bottom line is Jarvis Landry is showing the fact that when he's given the opportunity, he's going to catch the ball. I mean, when the target is there, he's getting it, and he's making good routes. And, you know, I just really I love the way he's going about things.
There is an article that's up on ScoutFantasy.com. Members can enjoy it. It's a premium member article only from our good gal, Liz Loza, the FF girl. It was called Week 7 Landing on Landry, and she talks about how just a few seconds can alter years of a person's life sometimes. And Jarvis Landry at the NFL Combine, he pulled his right hammy while running the 40-yard dash, and it was just bad timing, right? But before that moment, the kid from LSU here, he was just as talented and sought after of his teammate Odell Beckham. Not as much, but he was pretty darn good. And Landry selected in the second round by the Dolphins. Beckham, obviously, a first-round pick by the Giants. But he was kind of under the radar and kind of laid low a little bit, and now finally getting his opportunity, and still early. Prior to Gibson injuring his hamstring a couple of weeks ago, Landry and Gibson, they were receiving almost an equal amount of snaps. But when Gibson got sidelined, the rookie snaps increased by 34% from week 4 to week 6. Dolphins had a bye on week 5. So now you're starting to see him get a little bit of a flow here with Ryan Tannehill. Good article by Liz Loza. Glad to have her here, and she wrote about Landry. So, yeah, that's interesting. As for Trey Mason, there's not a lot to beat out there right now. We called Zach Stacy our bust of the year, and there's been several of us that you could pin your hang your head on this year. Not just Zach Stacy. He has been worthless to you so far. But, look, Benny Cunningham is there, but Trey Mason, actually, to me, he looks better than all of them, just on those little bit of carries. Now, he's going to have to – that team is in bad shape. Austin Davis was throwing Madden-like long bombs. You know, that's what I do in Madden. When I don't really know what I'm going to do and I can't complete a pass and I'm playing with the kids, I just launch it 50 yards down the field. That's what Austin Davis was doing, like, every time I thought the other night.
Well –
But, yeah, Trey Mason looks like he has some potential and definitely some dynasty value.
Yeah, but they were in that game. They were in that game. Let's face it. I mean, they had opportunities against San Fran, but, you know, it just one thing after another. But Trey Mason, he kind of reminds me of Bishop Sankey a little bit. They're both, you know, just kind of learning and learning, learning, and the more opportunities they get, the better they're getting. So, you know, I look at those two guys as kind of same deal.
Well, the price on DraftKings has not really done anything with Sankey. He's still a value if he can really get things going. Sankey is still cheap, $3,900. $3,900. We're all still waiting, but he did have his season high in carries, which is what we were waiting for.
Yep.
18 carries. He just didn't do much with them. Against Jacksonville, you would have thought maybe he would do more than 61 and 3.4 yards a carry. And that was including a 22-yard run earlier in the game. So, man, I want to get behind the kid, and I want him to use him, but he doesn't catch the ball enough for me. I want a guy that's going to catch 3, 4, 5 balls. This week, I'm looking at Reggie Bush. And I know it's a name that you're just kind of tired of hearing. It's like, oh, God, Reggie, do you really want Reggie? I think
revenge
he can win
game,
a million
baby.
Bucks this week. Yeah, he's playing at home. He plays well on the turf, not so much on the grass. You put him on the turf at home against his former team, and I think he could do. I think he could do pretty well there. And look, his price, $4,800. There's some guys in there. Look, Eddie Lacy, $4,700. But do you really want Eddie Lacy? I don't.
Not right now.
Not
right now.
Okay. Mike, we got a lot to get over. The exec, Corey Parson, will join us. But everybody in the chat room, thanks for being there. Oakland, Arizona this week. I mean, geez. But by the way, before we get into the game matchups, I want to ask everybody's opinion in the chat room and you listeners at home a dynasty question. I received a trade offer this week. I have Andre Holmes. I started him everywhere. I was flipping out last week when I benched right before kickoff, dude. This is how it happened. Right before kickoff, I swapped out in the 1250 FFPC, right, Dynasty. I swapped out Torrey Smith. I got him out of my lineup, and I put in Andre Holmes. Now, for me, that was death row all over again because I had to sit there. Not literally the first score of the game was the Torrey Smith touchdown, right? And then the second score of the game was like the Torrey Smith second touchdown. So I'm sitting there all the entire 1 o'clock games, just totally depressed and annihilated that I made that switch. Now, luckily, it worked out for me because Andre Holmes actually outscored Torrey Smith. But that whole day, your whole day was kind of ruined, you know. Just the funk was on, man, because Torrey did that. Flacco and Torrey, what a freaking incredible stretch they had there. What do you make of that? Is that a sign of things to come for Flack? I mean, I know he calls himself elite and all the thing, but he's playing Atlanta this week, and you should really torch Atlanta. Everybody torches Atlanta.
Well, you know, Joe Flacco has played extremely good football this year. I mean, they dealt with the situation off the field, and they've moved forward. And I'm extremely impressed by the way Joe Flacco has been playing and his receivers and their defense. Their defense has been fine. So it's not an anomaly, man. I mean, Joe Flacco is I hate to say it, but he's pretty good.
Well, I got sidetracked. I was going to tell you about the trade I was offered. So the trade I was offered was they wanted my Andre Holmes, and they were going to send back to me Reuben Randall. Now, I want everybody's opinion in the chat room. Andre Holmes or Reuben Randall, PPR Dynasty.
It's a Dynasty?
PPR Dynasty.
Yeah, PPR Dynasty. Okay. I would take Randall. The only reason is because I can see that Andre Holmes being like a Jason Morrow. Jason Morrow, you know, I mean, posted 20-something points last week, even though he's a rookie. And then this week against New England, didn't do much at all. Andre Holmes, he's in a difficult situation, very difficult situation.
I want the feedback from the chat room, the crew. Those are the opinions I respect. Not that I don't respect yours, Mike, but look, I want to get the feedback from the chat.
I understand.
And you know, no. Look, the age difference also. Did you know that Andre Holmes is 26, and Ruben Randle is only 23, still a young kid. So Andre Holmes has been bounced around a little bit, but I like him. I drafted him a couple places, but you know, he has some definite deep ball kind of mentality, and it's a big play, 6'4", can jump up and go up and get it, but. I'm not going to tell you what I did until I get some more opinions, but let me pull on 646 area code. I think that's our caller of the evening. 646, you with us?
Yes, sir. Fantasy executive. What's going on, Commish? What up, Mike?
That would be Corey. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. How's everything going, fellas?
Good.
Glad to have you, man. Look, did you hear the Dynasty question I asked you? I don't even know if you play. Do you play Dynasty, Corey?
I do play in one Dynasty League with some guys from SiriusXM Radio. That's the only Dynasty League I'm in, but I would like to play more competitively in Dynasty football. This is my first year doing a Dynasty League, so looking to build that thing up pretty strong. Just lost Victor Cruz this past week, and so far I'm pretty good 6-0 in that league, so I'm satisfied.
So what would you do then, Andre Holmes or Ruben Randle?
That's a tough one right there, but I figure you got to like the situation that Ruben Randle comes in a little bit better. Not to mention the fact you said that Ruben Randle is 23 years old. I got draws older than Ruben Randle. That is amazing. 23 years old in a prime situation in the New York Giants office playing with Eli Manning. Honestly speaking, we don't know what the future of Victor Cruz is. It's not an ACL tear. It's a patella tendon. Career-threatening type injury.
That's bad.
Will happen to Cruz. No, it is a bad injury, so... This is a guy that comes into a situation for the next 2 years where you keep probably is Giants' number one option. You know, Odell Beckham will be in the mix also. But I think I'll hold on to Randle, even though I'm not a big Randle guy, but he gets the opportunity now where he's in a prime situation to get a ton of targets. So I would give the slight bump to Randle. But Andre Holmes is an excellent football player.
Yeah, Interactive Fantasy Football in the chat room says, let's be real, Holmes is a Raider. And that was the consensus of the Club Veneer gang that I hung out with last night. They said, come on, dude, you're talking about a Raider. They're totally cursed. But I feel like the Raiders could turn things around with Derek Carr and Andre Holmes. I mean, that's the start that's a couple of building blocks that they've needed for a long, long time that we haven't seen in Oakland in a long time. And Ruben has the pedigree, right? I mean, he definitely has the pedigree. But I'm just curious. I wonder if he's going to be able to maintain and you know, over number one cornerbacks in the league. It's going to be very tough. And that's not good. You mentioned Victor Cruz and the patella injury. Mike, that's a devastating injury for any player. Yep. And you can look statistically and historically back, players just don't recover from those types of injuries. I mean, Cadillac Williams and
No, there's a bunch of them, Scott. It's going to be very tough for him to recover. And, you know, even though Eli and Tom Coughlin, they want to – try to sugarcoat it like, well, you know, he's going to be all right. No, this might be career ending. I mean, that's brutally honest.
Terrible. Exec, let's get right to the game matchups. I want to get into it with you. Arizona and Oakland, that's a matchup where if you have anybody playing against Arizona, really, I mean, you got to start them because they've been so bad against everything, running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends, receivers. I mean, just about everything. They give up a shit ton.
No, they you're talking about the Cardinals, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, here's the thing with the Cardinals. They do give up a ton. They got these, you know, Rodgers Kamani and Patrick Peterson, who are supposed to be two of the best young shutdown corners in the NFL. But those guys get burnt for a long touchdown each and every single week. They'll get annihilated by quarterbacks and wide receivers this year. You expected more of a stout defense, but, yeah, this is a situation where you definitely get Andre Holmes in the lineup this week. I don't know if I'm starting MJD or Darren McFadden. No, those are two washed up guys right there, but you do got to like what you can get on the outside from Holmes this week. And if the game is a blowout, of course, you get the magic. You get those Cecil Shorts points. You know, Cecil Shorts is the king of garbage time production. Yeah. Andre Holmes might challenge him for that this year.
Andre Holmes and James Jones, Mikey. The other side of the ball, on Arizona's side, Andre Ellington's obviously a must-start. You look at Michael Floyd and Larry Fitz now at this point. You got to get those guys into the lineup, right? And anybody else you might consider on here, Mike?
You know, you would think that everybody fits perfectly, but I'm a gambling guy and I'm looking at over and unders, and this has the 1, 2, 3, 4th the over and under is the 4th to the lowest.
Oh, what is it?
45. It's a very low over and under. So that begs to think that maybe Arizona's defense might be a little bit better than we think, Corey. Or maybe it's just the stigma of the Raiders.
Well, also that low over under could dictate a game where you can see, you know what I mean, a lot of action from Andre Williams carrying the football this upcoming weekend against the Oakland Raiders defense that's been burnt up on the ground pretty much all season long. You know, some big cornerbacks have put up big numbers against them. Ellison hasn't really got a chance to get it going yet, but this is definitely a week where he could get it going. Would you consider, I throw this out to both of you guys, I don't know how much playing you guys do, or Scott, I know you play, Mike, I don't know if you play. Is Ellison guy you, either of you would consider maybe throwing in the lineup in the DraftKings Millionaire Maker this upcoming weekend?
Yep. Well, and, you know, I love Michael Floyd in this game. I really do. You know, once Carson Palmer, I mean, he's back. It seems like he's pretty much healthy. So I see a lot of points coming from Arizona, but I just don't know if the Raiders can put up enough points to get there. But I like Michael Floyd, and I like Holmes in this game a little bit.
Yeah, I think I would be targeting other games. I don't see anybody that really sticks out to me that I would like to really use. Ellington looks a little too pricey for me. You always want 4-1 on your money, right? So if it's a $6,000 guy, you need 24 points. Ellington is at 6,500, so you're literally talking about a 28-point game to really justify that for me in a GPP. So I'm going to pass on Ellington this week, and I'll wait for his price to come back down. Yeah, I'll wait for his price to come back down a little bit. Let's go to the next game, Baltimore at Atlanta. This is one that I want to zero in on, guys, because at home, if we can figure out which running back is going to carry and have the big day for Baltimore, we're fantasy gold this week, right? Because Atlanta is the worst by a long shot against the run, and they've allowed New Orleans, Cincinnati, Tampa, Minnesota, the Giants, and Chicago most recently to absolutely roll all over them. They allow 30.2 points per game, 27% higher than the average NFL team this year. So Forsett, Pierce, Taliaferro. We saw Pierce get the carries last week, but after the game was kind of out of hand. What's the pecking order there, Zach?
I'm looking at Justin Forsett as the man right now in that running game in Baltimore. Not only has he come out and been impressive running between the tackles, getting all that good work, getting all those carries out there, you got to also look at the fact of what he's doing in the passing game. Dare I say that this year, when we look back at fantasy football in 2012, when we look at all the disappointments, 2014, and we look at all the disappointments with the running back position, they're going to look at Justin Forsett as the guy who's going to finish the RB1 in PPR leagues. Strong play this week. I'm all in on Forsett this week. Excellent play. He looks like he's the man right now in Baltimore. That's still a messy RB situation because a lot of fantasy owners have Lorenzo Taliaferro on their bench after they spent $300 in Fab on him. But it looks like Justin Forsett is the man that's going to be that guy in Baltimore backfield this year.
Mike, he's definitely been the guy that's kind of a dual threat. It's nothing special about Forsett. We've kind of seen this out of him for a long time, but he is what he is, right? And he's playing against a bad team, so. Let's see, his salary right now is $5,600 on DraftKings coming off a 14-carry game where he put up 111 yards against Tampa, and they said, you know what, have a seat, we don't need you anymore. So what do you think about, he was on his way to a 200-yard day against Tampa last week.
You know, I got a funny feeling they're going to go with Bernard Pierce. That's my take. I love Forsett. I love the way he plays. But the one thing about this game that you better watch out for is if Atlanta gets up and gets up early and quick, because I mean Atlanta on paper they might not seem that good, but if they get up early, then that means Baltimore is going to be throwing the ball. I like Bernard Pierce versus okay. I really do.
Okay, all right. Julio's obviously Steve Smith must starts, and then everybody wants to know. They're tired of starting Roddy White. I mean, if I've gotten more emails about Roddy than I think any individual player this week, but the high stakes players that I've spoke to, one in particular who I won't name on the air, told me ride it with Roddy one more time. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. As a matter of fact, I'm working on the mailbag piece right now and go up on Scout Fantasy Football Toolbox tomorrow. And I led with the Roddy White situation because it is really buff bad for the fantasy owners. We're talking about a player that for years, 16 games, 100 catches. Now this is a guy that's not even a flex in the 12-team PPR right now. The past 2 weeks, numbers have not been there. Only he's caught what, 6 passes in the past 2 weeks, a little over 60 yards. Not getting it done right now. The Falcons' offensive line being terrible does not help. Got a chance to have a couple of back-and-forth emails with Atlanta Journal-Constitution Falcons beat writer Darryl Orlando Ledbetter this weekend. Once again, we think this may be a situation where Roddy White could be masking the injury going down the stretch so far this season. So, you know, Julio gets the targets. I don't want to sit right. I got a spot this week where I am playing him. I played him over Eric Decker last night. That may end up being a mistake. Decker ended up having a decent game, but we don't even know if Wright can give you double digits in the PPR. White can give you double digits in the PPR right now. Very tough call. If you got somebody better, for example, last week, the common theme was, do I start Roddy White and Mohamed Sanu? You saw what happened. I told everybody to start Sanu.
Yeah.
If you have that same scenario again this week, start Mohamed Sanu. There's a lot of guys right now that you can start over Roddy White in a 12-team PPR, so it's just not looking up, especially if he's masking the injury.
Mike, I just want to bring up the comment that if you're Roddy White and Matt Ryan, you're sitting there, you're hearing all the feedback, and you're reading all the stories about how Roddy is done. You've heard all the commentary on the sports talk radio, and you're probably sick of it. And you would almost this is the type of game where it would not surprise me for him to just zero in on Roddy. And if unless Corey's right and he's injured and he just can't go, like Calvin was a decoy, I could easily see him getting 7-8 catches and 100 yards, you know. I mean, that's the kind of game that he could have this week.
Well, I could too. But the bottom line is you got to have trust right now. And trust is in Julio Jones. And, right now, Roddy White, honestly, you just can't have trust in him. And so I can't do it.
I know there's a bunch of Roddy White who do I start questions, and we'll try to get to some of those after the show through Twitter and Facebook for sure. The one other player I want to talk about in this game, exec, is Anton Smith. From a dynasty perspective, I got to tell you, I think you need to be trading for this guy and giving up something significant. Like Trent Richardson, something like that, where it'll get somebody's attention and then they'll say deal. Because the whole key for Atlanta, what I've heard, is they want to get this kid in open space. If they get this kid in open space, you can't take him down. He's a truck, and he's barreling, and you cannot arm tackle this kid, right? I mean, he's just such a beast. A 41-yard touchdown, 74-yard touchdown, a 48-yard touchdown, and a 54 and a 38 in 6 weeks. All they want to do is get him in open space, and they've been able to do that in every single week he produces. Is this a fluke, or is he like one of the most, impactful fantasy players we've seen on a per-touch basis?
You know, the thing about it is, the running back situations across fantasy football, week in and week out, especially in 12-team leagues, have been disgusting. So if you're starting him, listen, I really can't blame you. Last week I had a league where I started LeGarrette Blount and Bobby Rainey. I wish I'd have had Anton Smith. But you're talking about a guy that's had 23 touches and scored 5 touchdowns. That's just a pace that you cannot keep up. Eventually, somebody's going to put a hat on this kid.
Yeah, and from distance. Yeah.
And from distance. Eventually, somebody's going to put a hat on this kid, and they're going to be able to say, okay, wait a minute, this guy's in the game. Let's go ahead and give him some extra looks, because it can't happen. But you know what? It's been happening every single week. But what I find is more interesting, and I'll throw this question back at you two guys, what happened to the hero of August, Devonta Freeman, who raised up to as high as the 7th, 8th round in draft? Steven Jackson's still playing, and it looks like if Steven Jackson does go down, this is going to be a time shift. You guys think Freeman is rosterable in 12-team league right now?
Mike.
You want to answer that, or you want me?
Yeah. Look, I'll just say this while we wait for Mike and figure it out. He's stuck in a committee, right, and he's being outplayed by Anton Smith. And at some point, I think the coaching staff, they have to give both Smith and Freeman more opportunities and put Steven Jackson and Quiz back down on the depth chart. Is he's worth owning in our 20-man rosters, right? But in most traditional leagues, he's not, right? 20-man rosters, you definitely have to roster him because you're waiting for that time when Jackson goes down. And, look, you could say the same thing about probably, you know, for those of you like me and probably you, exec, and that went wide receiver heavy in our drafts, every one of my teams, I'm hanging on to like 7 or 8 of these Devonta Freeman types, you know? And I'm just like waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Freeman, Hyde, Taliaferro. I mean, just anything I can that looks like it might produce with an injury, I'm hanging on to him because I've got 4 wide receivers every single week that I'm trotting out, and I'm just waiting for my RB2 to develop.
Yeah, and that's a
go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. I mean, you know, I'm sitting there with Kadeem Carey. I mean, you know, I hope nothing happens to Matt Forte, but you know, that's another example of a guy that you want to just hang on to, because you never know. Come week 10, 11, 12, man, that could be gold mine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 5-way mess when you talk about Patrick DeMarco in Atlanta, too, as a fullback getting lots of action. It's just a mess. And they've really got to clear it up. And I mean, if they can get, again, Anton Smith, they can get him carries. He's very impossible to pull that. Question right here from Facebook. I just want to answer this guy. Exec, he's got a tough time to starting between Russell Wilson or Austin Davis at quarterback. What would you do this week?
Easy.
Boy, I tell you what, that's a pretty tough call right there, but I think I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. Listen, you know what, the thing about Wilson, and I like Austin Davis a lot. I like the way he's playing, but I expect that team to kind of get back into the mix of things this week. I mean, you got two guys facing each other. Point total is kind of low in this one, especially with Seattle going on the road, but just looking at the efficiency of Russell Wilson, this is a game where I think he could very well rush for 60, 70 yards, a rushing touchdown, and also throw for close to 200, maybe 250, and give you a passing touchdown. You know, St. Louis team has been shown to be susceptible on defense. I'm going to try Wilson out there this week. Tough matchup for Austin Davis. You know, I like the kid a lot, but he is not great fantasy. He's a better NFL quarterback than he is a fantasy quarterback. Can you will a Russell Wilson? Yes, you can. But he's not going to give you those big monster games. He's very efficient.
Well, while we're talking about Seattle, go ahead and comment on the Percy Harvin situation. Dealt away for pennies and get rid of a bad contract. It goes down as another loss as a Minnesota wide receiver that they've traded for. What do you make of this? Anger management issues, not fitting in, having a fight with Golden Tate before the Super Bowl? It looks just like it's all coming out now.
You know what? This guy may be the biggest fraud in professional sports, period. And I'm talking about Percy Harvin. He literally had the Minnesota Vikings thinking that he's had some kind of brain injury or some kind of brain disease with these migraines. They ran all kind of intricate tests on him, never had a headache again. He gets out of that situation. He gets to Seattle. What did he play in? The Super Bowl? That was it. Had a run back for a touchdown. I can really see this is probably a situation where more than likely they decide to cut their loss with this guy, especially after a very eye-opening loss last weekend. So, and I wouldn't be surprised. This is speculation. I don't know nothing. I wouldn't be surprised if this is Russell Wilson, the leader of that team, saying, you know what, get this guy out of here. We'll do what we got. We went without him last year. We went without him again. And now Harvin goes to a situation where he goes to the New York Jets. He complained in Minnesota about Christian Ponder. He's going to complain about Geno Smith, too. This is a guy that's probably he's going to be in the Jets for the rest of the season. The big cap number, but he's just a cancer in locker rooms, and he's going to bounce around. As far as fantasy production, nothing really. He's a Jet now, but it does give an uptick to Javon Kearse and Doug Baldwin. I mean, Jermaine Kearse.
Corey, you know, that's pretty good statements, and, you know, if you don't mind me jumping in, Does that start with him or maybe Pete Carroll? Because Pete Carroll's had problems in the past about controlling the locker room.
Well, I don't really know. I think he might just be, seems to be doing a good job now. I mean, that's a team that ran through the season last year. Good young team, good young staff, good young personnel. They make the right decisions. Cal's been an excellent coach and his second stint in the NFL so far. So I don't really want to say so much of Carroll. It's this guy Harbin seems like he's difficult to get along with.
Yeah.
And that's not the kind of character they want in that locker room out in Seattle.
Yeah.
Corey Parson, the executive, is with us from ScoutFantasy.com and SiriusXM Radio. Again, ScoutFantasy.com is the official sponsor of Red vs. Blue Friday Night Football. And look, buy 1 month, it'll get you three right now. It's a special limited offer for the rest of this week. If you've been looking to join and become a member of Scout for all of the content, not just on the fantasy side, but you get all the NFL for your favorite NFL team, for your favorite college football team, college basketball, all the recruiting stuff, the outdoor men's, the hunting, the fishing, everything, the military, everything they possibly have at Scout. You can use the code REDBLUE3. Listeners of Red vs. Blue, use the code REDBLUE3 in the promo box, and you'll get 3 months for the price of one. So make sure you sign up for the one-month option, and you'll get 3 months for the price. That'll take care of you for the entire season. You'll get all of the execs member content. You'll get all of Dr. Roto, Liz Loza, the FF Girl, Pilar Lostra, all of the high-stakes pros, Jim the Fantasy Taz, Jim Day, and the list goes on and on at scoutfantasy.com. And also, again, if you're playing daily at DraftKings or FanDuel or anywhere, you get Tommy G. And exec, I don't think I have to tell you, but when you get Tommy G, you wanna listen to what he has to say. The kid makes money every single week. The man is a genius when it comes to daily baseball and one of the best in football.
Yeah, definitely. And you know what I mean? You get all that good information, so you can keep your dream alive as you try to chase down $1 million each and every Sunday. So, Tommy G is a guy, like I said, definitely sign up for Scout Fantasy and read all those great things. And then, like you said, you got Tom G. Give me that expert daily advice to help you try to, you know, line your pockets some way during the fantasy football season, especially if you have a team that's 1-5, 2-4, struggle with injuries and legal hits and stuff like that, and you're out of it.
Yeah.
You can still have fun on Sundays playing daily fantasy football.
That's right. You get REDBLUE3 is the code. For $7.95, you get 1 month for the price of three. And one thing that I think goes underrated, on Sunday morning when we're all panicking and we're watching ESPN, we're resorting to watching ESPN Fantasy, right? I mean, absolutely ridiculous that we didn't even do that. But that's what we're doing. We're listening for tidbits, and then all of a sudden they'll bring up a player that you're looking at, and you're actually thinking about putting him into a lineup, and you're like, you listen to something that they say, and you're like, oh, my God, I got to go back, and I got to look, I got to take a second look.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Turn the TV off. Go to stay in a quiet spot. And go to the message boards, the forums at Scout Fantasy, and stay on Twitter and get your updates for all the injuries. But go to Scout Fantasy and ask your questions. You get access to all the experts if you're a Scout Fantasy member. That's what I would do if I were needing information. I think we always, for years, exec, we took for granted, and Mike, that we had, I know all these high-stakes players, and I could text them and I could chat with them. And I said, we want to bring this to the masses, the actual real pros in fantasy, the guys that are winning and at the top of the leaderboards everywhere. These are the guys you want to ask your questions to. So get them on the message boards, and they will help you on Sunday mornings because their lineups are pretty much set. They're still working on their lineups too, but they're there to help you with your lineups too. Okay, let's keep going. We got a lot of content to cover.
You got in the premium section, the member section, over on the Scout Fantasy message board, I had a little email Q&A with Bill Wasowski, one of the top 50 players in the country, and he more or less addresses these messes at running back all over the place, all these committees, all these injuries, all these you don't know who to start each and every week. So me and Bill chat about that. That's posted right now on the Scout Fantasy premium message board. So definitely getting in and get a part of that.
Good stuff, Corey. Good stuff.
Yeah, you want it. Billy's one of the top-ranked players in the world, and that's the kind of stuff that you get. Okay, Green Bay at Carolina, very interesting. From a dynasty perspective, Kelvin Benjamin is a guy that I want. And if I don't have him, what do I have to give up? I mean, literally, right below the tier of Julio, A.J. Green, You know, we're talking right below that Alshon Jeffrey tier is Kelvin Benjamin. You have to give up an absolute mint. I'll bet you right now that there's some players out there that would not trade Kelvin Benjamin for Calvin Johnson. That's just the way – that's how high this kid's value is. Now, what's the word? The concussion, is that going to keep him out of this game, or is he going to play, Zach?
Looks like they're trying to get him through the protocol. Looks like he has a good chance to play so far this week. But concussions are very tricky, so I would monitor that situation all the way up to game time, 11:45 a.m. Eastern. You should have an answer for that. Of course, you got some of these insiders that get on Twitter a little bit early and get you that information. So it looks like Benjamin is going to play, but he's progressing through the protocol. But we definitely, when it comes to concussions, got to wait until around noon on Sunday before we find out exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. And I'm talking about, I think you would have to give up like a Randall Cobb to get a Kelvin Benjamin right now. That's the kind of guy you have to give up. Eddie Lacy's been a complete bust, except for that one good game that he had that one night. And then here's a situation, Mike, I'm going to ask you, Davante Adams or Roddy White? If you have both guys, do you have more faith in Aaron Rodgers just throwing to maybe a Davante Adams with a play this week, or would you rather start Roddy White? What would you do?
Well, that's funny because I would go with Roddy White. As much as I was downgrading him about 10 minutes ago, I would go with Roddy White in that situation because I do believe that Eddie Lacy is going to have a nice game. And so that's going to, that's going to limit the opportunities for Davante Adams. So
Davante Adams had 62 offensive snaps last week, exact 78%. Of the offense, he was out there. That's a pretty big number to be out there 62 times with Aaron Rodgers. What do you think, Davante Adams or Roddy White?
This is a situation where I would warm up Roddy White in my yearly league, my season-long league, because Roddy White is the number two target out there, even though things look bleak right now. While Adams has to get across the target monster, that is Jordy Nelson, not to mention the fact you still have Randall Cobb and Andy Lacy, who are more primary targets than Adams. But I tell you one thing, Scott. And you're sitting there right there by the computer, so you can help me out with this one. I'm not right now.
Yeah.
If Davante Adams scores 2 touchdowns, let's say Davante Adams goes 8 for 150 with 2 touchdowns on Sunday. Come on to see on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's 39. He's 3,900.
Love it.
He's 3,900. He's like 4 dimes. He's like 4 dimes. So he'll be worth it. If he gets 16, he's worth it, right? So.
Yep.
If he'll get you 25, dude, he's on the millionaire maker. He's on the millionaire maker.
Go.
And that's a guy I absolutely love this week, Davante Adams. Another guy that I bet you will be highly used, even though he's pretty terrible, is Jonathan Stewart at 3,700. Green Bay allows a lot on the ground. It's 9% worse than the average. So, okay, that's an FF toolbox number for you right there. Jonathan Stewart against Green – are they going to be able to have an opportunity to run? Because you would think that Green Bay is going to get out on them. And then it's going to be Cam Newton trying to save the day, throwing to Cotchery and Olsen, and if he's out there, Kelvin Benjamin.
You know, the funny thing about this was back in August, we were talking about how downgraded Cam because he doesn't have no weapons.
Right,
it
right.
seems like Cam has the best up in his career right now. Greg Olsen is an absolute stud. That guy is a beast. He comes through for fantasy owners each and every week. You know what you got with Kelvin Benjamin, young upcoming wide receiver in the NFL, and he's putting in good work right now. But I tell you what, those 17 carries Cam got last week, that makes me very excited to be a Cam Newton owner in a couple leagues. So I think I don't want to say I'm in love with the Carolina offense because it still is the Carolina offense. They really don't have the weapons, but they all putting up good numbers every week. But as Cam Newton gets healthier and you see him carrying the football more, he is the weapon. He's going to keep that team in games. He's going to have another big fantasy season. I'm telling you, Cam Newton is the guy that you want to buy on right now if you're in the league where you can make trades.
All right, let's move on to the Cincinnati-Indianapolis game. We're running. We got about 12 minutes left in the program. The exec, Corey Parson. As always, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent here on Red vs. Blue. Andrew Luck has been on the number one team in the FFWC every single week of the year, and every week it's a new team at the top of the leaderboard, but Andrew Luck is the one consistent player. You were able to get him in the 5th, 6th round, and he has been the best quarterback in the FFWC scoring. Having said that, T.Y. Hilton, an absolute beast last week. Could he do that again against Cincinnati? $7,000 on DraftKings. Obviously, a must-start in all your redrafts. Mohamed Sanu, the same thing. Reggie Wayne kind of gets a little teetering now. Now you start to feel out, okay, would I rather start Reggie Wayne or put in maybe, you know, somebody like a Cecil Shorts, because Reggie's just – Andrew Luck spreads it around so much, right? He spreads it around to Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, T.Y. Hilton. Bradshaw catches his touchdowns now out of the backfield, which is surprising enough. So Luck spreads it around. I would have more faith in Reggie Wayne, of course, in that situation. And then you have Jeremy Hill. You obviously are starting Giovanni Bernard, but maybe you're even starting Jeremy Hill because this guy's a pounder. What do you think about Jeremy Hill at DraftKings? $4,300. He just doesn't get enough carries in my taste.
Yeah, it's not a guy I'm going to want in the daily game this week, Jeremy Hill. Not really an option that I'll be looking at. I think from this, and don't get me wrong, in season long leads, Jeremy Hill is a flex. I can see the game. I'm not sure, but I think this game does have a high point total on this one. And these are two teams that are going to be playing deep in the season in the AFC, so you want to see these guys come out there and kind of send a message toward each other. But as far as this game goes, I really think one of the real interesting things is, and you spoke about it and you hit on it earlier, is the way Andrew Luck distributes the football. T.Y. Hilton is the number one target. He doesn't dominate, but he does get the most targets in that offense. Wayne and Bradshaw and Allen, they come behind him. Allen's excellent target in the red zone. But Hakeem Nicks should be on the waiver wire. I don't know what the hell is wrong with that guy. He's 26 years old. He is 26 years old, Hakeem Nicks. That's crazy. And he looks like he runs like Willie Rope. So that's the only guy that you really can't start. This is a game where I see good fantasy numbers for everybody involved, especially Mohamed Sanu. So good offensive game, good fantasy-friendly game. So I definitely will look at some options. But as far as taking a gamble on a millionaire maker, I think the only guy you really can play in this one really is Andrew Luck.
Maybe a Dwayne Allen, Mike, 3,700, or even a Kobe Fleener at 3,000. I want more snaps out of my tight end than Kobe Fleener at 3,000.
Yeah,
Dwayne Allen, 80%.
You know, this game reminds me of when the Bengals played New England on the road early in the year when they stomped them pretty bad. I just see a bunch of dink and duck with Gio Bernard, and I think Jeremy Hill is a pickup. I mean, you know, I got to disagree with Corey. I really think Jeremy Hill is a definite pickup for his price, because I see a lot of dink and dunk with Gio Bernard. And, you know, I think Cincinnati is going to have some fun just kind of doing some little things that's going to keep Indy off balance. And I don't know who's going to produce from Indy other than Andrew Luck. It's going to be little by little, but I don't know. I like Jeremy Hill in this game.
It's a plus matchup also for the tight ends in Cincinnati. And look, after watching Mohamed Sanu, he's not going to sneak up on you now. And with Vontae Davis, he is healthy, by the way. And I really respect Vontae Davis's game as an Indianapolis Colt. I think he can shut down Mohamed Sanu. Then what? What are you talking about then? Brandon Tate catching the ball? You know Gio's going to get it, just like Mike said. I there's some validity to that. He's going to get a lot of dink and dunks. But maybe Jermaine Gresham, you know, look, he's a terrible waste of talent at this point in his career. But the situation, and you're going to have to score points to keep up with Andrew Luck. I don't care how good that defense is in Cincinnati, you're going to have to score points. So you're going to be throwing the ball in that second half. Jermaine Gresham might be the guy that's a beneficiary. And for three dimes in DraftKings, maybe he's the guy. I mean, look, a touchdown is all you really need to make it worth it.
Yeah, but it's very risky because that guy is extremely.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He's an underachiever. You know what I mean? But I tell you what, the speculative ass is Tyler Eifert. Be back in about a month. He could be a player that exceeds down the stretch, especially with the AJ Green in his toe.
7 minutes to go on the program, fellas. So we are running out of time. But look, it is the Millionaire Maker contest. You got to take a shot, and 99% of the snaps, Jermaine Gresham is out there. I kind of like that. Okay, Cleveland at Jacksonville. Ben Tate has been the story, man. This guy looks absolutely incredible. Has a great plus matchup against Jacksonville. 5,300 dimes or 5 dimes on Ben Tate. $5,300. Needs about 20-25 point game to really make it worth it. little expensive. Jordan Cameron at 4,600 obviously is a consideration. Isaiah Crowell, man, I didn't really know he was going to be this good. When I watch him, he passes such an eye test for me, Mike. Have you seen how good this kid looks?
Yeah. I drafted him in the rookie draft, and, you know, I really felt good about this kid. And, yeah, he's solid. I mean, he's really solid.
And they're really trying to get him about 11 carries a game, regardless of who else is in the game. But, look, Ben Tate is notorious for going out of games early, exec. And so if you decided to take Ben Tate out and just go ahead and put a lineup in there with Crowell, he'll be very low-owned at four dimes. And, you know, he could have a huge game against Jacksonville if Ben Tate goes out with injury, which is not uncommon.
Yeah, but we don't have a crystal ball, and we really can't predict injury. Now, don't get me wrong, I will tell you Ben Tate will miss time at some point again this season. But to say that he's going to exit this game, that's the kind of risk, like you said, that you have to take for the millionaire maker. But even with his price tag in the millionaire maker, I'm starting Ben Tate. That team wants to run the football, and Ben Tate has ran the ball excellent. This guy is an RB1 for fantasy, Ben Tate, this year. As long as he's on the field, he's an RB1. Excellent night of this weekend. This guy carried the ball 25 times. He might run for 200 against Jacksonville.
Allen Robinson on the other side of the ball with Marquise Lee getting back into action. There's only 10 other wide receivers, according to our expert Rusty Reeves, with more targets than Allen Robinson the past 4 weeks, 37 targets. He has the same number of targets as Alshon and Dez. He could be nearing a breakout. So let's keep our eye on Allen Robinson. If you're getting that many targets, well, not to mention the reason you're behind in the game, but he is preferred. He's out there 91% of the snaps compared to 79% for Shorts, 64% for Hearns. Hearns has fallen down. Marquise Lee is picking those snaps up, 21% of the snaps. That's going to continue to rise as they get Marquise Lee more integrated into the offense. But, again, everything else is pretty much a risk. Miami-Chicago is a game that everybody will be targeting at DraftKings. You've got a lot of storylines there. You have Lamar Miller that will probably be very heavily owned at 5,300 because he's going to carry the load. There's not a lot of other guys there. And then revenge factor. Is there any revenge factor here for Brandon Marshall? I mean, playing for Miami and they kind of, you know, move on from him? I mean, I don't know. Marshall, we've been waiting on that big game. Maybe this is it.
I think he's over it. I think he's over Chicago. He's enjoying playing for Miami. And, you know, this is a big game for Miami.
Yeah, you got that one reversed. He's over Miami. He's playing well for Chicago. Yeah. I caught that. Exec, what do you think, bud?
No, I like this game. This is a game, like you said, they're going to have a lot of guys being owned in this game right here also. This is a situation where it sets up pretty nice. I am a believer in the revenge game theory, and I do think Marshall wants to go out there and put up big numbers. Like you said, he hasn't had that big game so far yet this season in Miami. It's acceptable to give him points up to wide receiver. So I do like Brandon Marshall. I like everybody in this game this week. It's about finding Tuck millionaire makers, about finding that right price, and that right price might be whatever Matt Forte is.
It could be Ryan. It could be Ryan Tannehill, Mike Wallace, and you know, just stack them up. You could stack up a Bears team. You could stack up a Dolphins team in this game. That's the kind of thing that I would like to see. Clay is still not healthy, obviously, because he was a tight end one last year, and he's barely a tight end two at this point with his knee. So let's see let's let him get healthy. I would not be surprised if Mike Wallace has a huge game. Matt Forte, he's been 30-pointing it in 30 burgers the last couple of weeks, but he's too expensive
he's
at $9,400 bucks. You can't spend $9,400 bucks on him. You just can't.
Well, I know Scott, but he's producing every week, and it's tough not to. I mean, you got to find your spot to where you want to. You know, where is my running back, and how much do I want to spend? And you got to go after a big money back, and this might be the spot.
Exactly. Are you gonna have any Forte teams at $9,400 bones?
Nah, if I played Marco Murray before, I played Forte.
Yeah. All right, guys. Look, we're gonna have to have another Red versus Blue show maybe this weekend, or I'm gonna have to do something because we only got through about half of the games, if that. There's so much to talk about. Exec, thank you for coming on Red versus Blue, my man. Keep pounding out the great content at Scout Fantasy, and we love hearing you in the mornings with Nando, dude. Great job over there.
Thanks a lot. The Fantasy Funhouse is rolling, having a good time doing that part of the program. So definitely looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, Scott. Everybody, good luck this weekend. It's time to climb to the top of the leaderboard.
And thanks, you can catch the exec on Wednesday nights, the takeover at 8 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you check it out on FF Toolbox Radio. That's all the time for tonight. Crew in the chat room, thank you. FFWC, Jason Kahn going for the repeat, trying to unify the belts at the FFWC.
You've been listening to Red versus Blue Sports Talk Radio, where Planet Red and Big Blue Nation collide, with your hosts, Scott Atkins and Michael Trent. Please join us next time.